The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There once was a church, long ago and far away. Once upon a time, they say. And this church was getting everything backwards. And they had some funny thoughts about communion. They would bring luscious loaves of bread and jugs of wine. And the people who were in the inside track and the people who had money, they ate like gluttons. And they drank and got drunk at Holy Communion. Strange church. So the person who was their mission developer had to write them a letter. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? The Church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians. I want to walk us through here just a little bit because I think most of us only have one kind of picture of this church. But it's a story. It's an ongoing story, especially through chapters 11 through 13. So this church was getting everything backwards. They lifted up the rich and the insider circles, and some people left without any communion at all, and they went hungry to boot. And Paul writes to them, and he says, this is not right. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. In the same way, he took also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. They still weren't listening. And so he reminded them that they are also church. And he told them this story that Chris read to us earlier about spiritual gifts. And he says, you are all one body. You are all one body. And it doesn't matter what part of the body you are. It's a really good analogy. How often do you think about your little toe? Unless you stub it or you have a hangnail. When part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. But every part of the body is critical to what the body does. And the older we get, the more aches and pain that body has, and the more you recognize that, oh, this is all one body. But Paul is saying here that everyone who is in Christ is part of the body of Christ. One preacher the other day said, doesn't matter if you're a nose hair in the body of Christ, you have a purpose. But Paul says, and this is one of those verses that used to keep a lot of people away from the communion table. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body, eat and drink judgment against themselves. Did that one stump you in confirmation class? From a young age, I would look at the bread in my hand and go, how does this become Jesus? How does this become the body of Christ? And I couldn't discern it. And after 6 years of seminary, I still couldn't discern it. But the fact of the matter is, Paul gave them the answer right there in 1 Corinthians. Discerning the body of Christ is discerning the body of Christ, the people who are attached to Jesus, the head, and we are the body. And each person in the body of Christ is uniquely gifted, uniquely valued by God, and ought to be seen by each other through those eyes. All those spiritual gifts that Paul talks about, he spends the whole of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians talking about all the different spiritual gifts. And it's a pretty good list. You are the body of Christ. Gift, 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 gift. This is a gift, that's a gift. You all have those gifts. Some are more visible, some are less. Sometimes God makes you outspoken and prominent. Sometimes God has you working in the shadows. You still have those gifts. But many, many, many gifts in chapter 12. And then chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but don't have love, I am nothing. Do you understand? This chapter is the culmination of that whole story about their bad table manners. It all comes down to love. And sadly, we usually only read this chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, at weddings. The greatest of these is love. No, it's so much more full than that. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. He's talking to them still about their communion manners, what they do inside the church, how they treat the outsider, Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then we will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. It means tuck it into your shirt. It's like the pleat of your shirt. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. I think these are the best three chapters on how to be church in the whole Bible. But more so, not just Paul's words, but Jesus. I chose today John 17. It's from Jesus' prayer at the end in John, as he's giving his disciples last instructions, that the disciples would be one. That was his prayer. That the disciples would be one. We are Christ's body on the earth. And we may not always feel like we're all that powerful, but God's strength is made perfect in weakness. But you are beloved. You are attached. The Lord, the joy of the Lord, is your strength. You see, Jesus' high priestly prayer was that we all be one and that our joy would be found in him and that our abundance would be found in him. He came that our joy might be complete. Joy is a byproduct of love. Body of Christ. We may not discern the bread in our hands, how it is Jesus, but we can look around at each other and see that each one is part of that beloved body. And when we come together for the Lord's Supper, the body is healed. Maybe just a foretaste of the great healing to come, but it is. I've used this image before, but for those who haven't seen it, Jesus said, "Do this for the remembrance of me." But it's not just a mental exercise of thinking on Jesus. It's as if the weights of the world drag us down, and you watch the news and you see people in action and you think, how can there be hope? And for a while you feel a little disjointed. You know, if you have your arm cut off, you are dismembered. When we come together at the Lord's Supper, we are remembered, reattached as the body of Christ. And we need that, oh, so often. So today, come and be remembered that the love of God in you might be refreshed, that your love for God and neighbor might be renewed, and that the peace and joy of Christ might dwell in you richly. Amen.